I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When I was about 13, I remember that I was scared to tell people that I was a gamer because, one, I was a girl and games were not for girls. Everyone knew that. And two, if you gamed, you were a super nerd. And that was a bad thing.
Hello! I am so excited you're tuning in for another episode of the With Mon podcast. I'm your host, Monica O'Hanlon, and as usual, I am just thrilled to be hanging out in your ear holes today. I've said it before, it's been absolute chaos at my end. We moved into a new warehouse in Hackney Wick, which has been lovely. We popped over to Spain for the weekend for my partner's birthday. The joys of living on this side of the globe. But now I'm desperately trying to play catch up. And I've got a lovely episode for you today. It's a chat with the wonderful Joy Kay, an esports caster and host currently based in Stockholm. If you don't know much about the gaming world, please do not fret. My experience begins and ends with The Sims as a teenager, but I've always been intrigued. I remember I had some mates who would hold these sleepovers called LAN sessions, where they'd all bring their computers to one person's house and hook them up and play games all night. I never wanted to partake, and just quietly, I wasn't invited, but I was always fascinated by it. And since then, online gaming has evolved and really exploded around the world. We speak about what it's like to be a woman in the industry and trolling, as well as the ins and outs of the gaming world. Just quickly before we get started, you're going to hear the word MOBA being used. This stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena. And that might be common knowledge, but I had no idea what it meant. So, without further ado, let's kick things off with how Joy Kay got into casting. Enjoy!
There was an amateur league that friends of mine were going to compete in, and I was going to join them, but they decided a little bit at the last moment that they wanted to have somebody else on the team instead of me. So, but I still wanted to be involved in some way. So I was like, okay, well, can't I like do something else? And then they were like, yeah, well, maybe you can, you know, cast our matches. So I got in contact with the league and I was like, yeah, I want to give it a try. And they were like, sure thing. It's all voluntary there. So yeah, the more the merrier. Gave it a try and that started to take off for me.
So you're freelancing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you also, you do interviews. It said in your bio, hostess. What is that?
Yes. So pretty much how you can divide the broadcast team up is that there will be a host and an interviewer. And then there will be, if you have a very big production team, there will be an analyst desk and casters. So the host is the person that will, when people are watching online or in a venue, they will talk to the audience the most. And they are like leading the storyline. So they will say, good evening, we are here today. This is what's going to happen. And they will be sitting with the analyst desk. And the analyst desk are kind of like the all-knowing people. They will, after a game, reflect back on what happened. And they will also make pre-game predictions most often. So then you have those three, they're sitting together. Often in another part of the broadcast, you will have the interviewer. And the interviewer either, they are there to like fill the dead space between the games, but also to get the player's perspective and tell their stories. So after a game, they take one player, most often from the winning team, to interview and just get some depth onto like why did certain things happen, how did everything go, but also the more general questions, how is the team feeling in the league, blah blah blah, stuff like that. And then you have the casters, and they only are on during the game because they are the commentators of the game.
Wow. So it's like a massive team, really.
It can be, but it very often is like quite small. So it very often ends up just being, if you're doing a remote setting in smaller leagues, it ends up being that either like you're just sitting with two casters. If it's luxury, there will be one host that just kind of talks in the dead space with the casters.
And so is it always, because it's League of Legends, right? Is that the main one that you work with?
It's League of Legends. Then there's Valorant that I've been doing a little bit for now as well. But I still very much need to learn more about the game. And then there's, of course, Heroes of the Storm. That's the game where I started.
I'm so interested in esports and like the whole gaming thing. I'm terrible. I'm not really fussed about playing the game myself, but I'm just intrigued by the subculture. But it's so wild because, I mean, like it used to be a group of people in their bedrooms on computers, and now there's like full stadiums packed with people.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it blows my mind. Do you live predominantly off casting and hosting and stuff?
No. So I previously always had a full-time job, and I did this as a side thing. And currently I'm working part-time here and there where I can, because it does not pay the bills.
Don't worry. I'm very familiar with that, the little side hustle. Good on you for still doing it though, because I know that, yeah, it's a lot of work.
It can be tough for sure.
Yeah. So you used to play, you felt like you weren't very good at the game, but you really like the game. Like, were you always into esports and like gaming? Was that something that you did as a child?
Well, I was always into gaming, but I'm a little bit more of like, if I get into one thing, I'll stick with that one thing for a very long time. I don't differentiate a lot between different games. So I started playing World of Warcraft when I was about 10 years old, and I played that game religiously, almost at least, until I was about 18. And then Heroes of the Storm came out with their open beta, and yeah, I got a closed beta key that I hadn't really, because I wasn't sure what the game was, so I was like, oh, this looks a bit like trying something new, this looks a bit scary. But then I saw there were a lot of like familiar characters from World of Warcraft, the game I was loving so much. And then I was like, huh, maybe I do give it a try. And I absolutely loved it. And then I pretty much, after a month or two, made the swap to go from full-time World of Warcraft to full-time Heroes of the Storm.
What does full-time look like for you? Like, what's a session? How long does that go for?
So in this particular game, one game where you're playing 5v5 can take like a maximum of 35 minutes, I want to say, on average. And so I'd say 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Like in an evening after dinner, you play some.
Do you have breaks? Like, do you have like half time or anything like that?
It depends. I mean, if I'm playing for fun, no, because I'll be talking with my friends, and like we don't really give it our best, we just play the game and have fun. But if the idea is to like win as much as possible, then it's always good, I think, to have a small break just for yourself to refresh your mind and also step away from the computer, get your concentration span back, like filled up, so to say.
Sure. Yeah. With the being an esports caster then, like, how does it work? Can you like walk us through like a day in the life?
If you're going to a venue, you very often arrive one day early, or I always prefer to arrive one day early. So you just get to have a look around at like, okay, what does the venue look like that we're working with? And you get to talk to the people that are going to work on the production, and just set up some ground rules of like, how do we communicate? Where do I stand? Where can I be in the meantime? What's available to me? What equipment am I using? So you can kind of familiarize yourself with everything. You don't have to do that on the day. Catch an early night. And then it's arrive at like 8 in the morning at the venue and start to prep. So which games are you going to be seeing today? And then if I'm at an offline event, I'm most often actually an interviewer. And then the preparations is like you're looking really into individuals that you might think would be do well on camera. So who would be entertaining to talk to? And as the games go on and you're watching them, I try to take some notes of like key moments and think of like, oh, this was an important moment inside the game. I also speak a lot to the audience, at least in the last LAN that I attended. And then it's that came a bit more on the fly. I wasn't aware I was going to do that until the very day. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. I'll do it. And but it's a lot of fun. Everyone there was very engaging. So I would just like, you know, I would say something like audience and they would all go like, woo! Like, so they were super engaging and that makes the job even more fun. Then it's in between games, you go up on the stage and you talk to the audience. Okay, this is going to happen next. We're going to take a small break and then this game is going to come on for you. And then the next one starts and pretty much that's how it goes. At the end of the day, first day, it's often a really quick chat at the end of like, okay, what went well and what do we need to do better next day? Grab some dinner, head to bed and do it all over again the next day.
I guess you would have to travel quite a bit, right?
Yes. So there are some things that that come from home, at least, or that you can do in your remote setting. Now the Valorant gig that I had, it was completely remote. So then you don't have to travel at all. That's perfect. But I love traveling. So for me, it's really fun to get asked to come to Berlin and, you know, do it from there.
Yeah. And I guess they would fly you and put you up and everything, right?
Yes. So, yes, that is normally the case.
You were just talking about communicating with the audience and stuff and how that's like a new part of or something that you've just started kind of exploring. What's like the biggest crowd? Because there are stadiums now. Like, are you speaking with stadium-sized crowds or what's your what kind of...
No. No, this was this event that happened in Berlin had a crowd of about 200 people.
I mean, that's still pretty good.
And then the rest was online. Yeah, exactly. But that's like, it's the thing is it's scarier to talk to, I think, the people that you can't see than it is to the people that you can see.
Totally. So how many people do you think would be tuning in online?
So online we had an audience of about 5,000 to 6,000 viewers.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, but that's good then, right? Because imagine that they were all sitting there as well. Then it maybe becomes a bit scarier to go on the stage and be like, okay, that's a lot of people.
Do you have like a favorite gig that you've done? Like, is there a most memorable moment from your casting or interviewing, hostessing, you do everything career?
I mean, I got to fly to Miami last year.
Amazing.
Which is really cool. But when we did this tournament, the same tournament, and then the second version this year in Berlin, I think that was my favorite. Just to have such a like a bigger crowd because we fit more people in this venue and have a lot of people that you talk to coming over from all over the world. Honestly, like people from Korea, people from the USA that all traveled down to Berlin to attend this event. It was really, really unique. And of course, how engaging and excited everyone was.
Yeah, the atmosphere must be buzzing.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Everyone was happy to, at least also put a face to, of course, all your friends online that you've been gaming with for such a long time. Because that's also an opportunity when you're attending an event like that, is you get to actually meet all of those people.
Yeah, oh, that's so nice.
But also to see, of course, their favorite players being on stage, cheering for them and see what they are how they're going to do in the competition.
Yeah, because I guess the athletes are celebrities, aren't they, really?
Yeah, to some players they are. I mean, our community is quite small because we are, most of the time, we are community-funded running events within Heroes of the Storm, that is, because it no longer gets supported by Blizzard. But so they are a bit of celebrities for sure, but it's also they're a bit more accessible. So it's not like within League of Legends, for example, where they get an annual salary and they have this as their full-time job. And of course, like people can come and watch them and they'll be like, you know, an option to take pictures and get an autograph. It's a bit more like low, not, I want to not say low level, that's not what I mean, but I'm a bit more accessible, I think. Like people are a bit closer to each other.
Yeah, so it's not quite as, I mean, League of Legends is massive.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching videos about it. I'm like, this is wild. Like, I heard that some of the players make, like, more money than, like, professional football players and stuff. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, and in some parts of the world, like in Asia, they are more popular celebrities than, you know, actors and pop stars that we, yeah, the people that we like in the Western world more look up to, so to say.
Totally. So do you do work with League of Legends at all, or is that something that you aspire to? Yeah,
I do, but it's very much still in the baby mm-hmm. shoes, I would say.
Nice. I guess I wanted to touch on it. Esports, it was known to be quite male dominated. Is that correct, would you say?
It is. In a sense, it's already over like the last 2 years, you're seeing tremendous changes, as in that it's much more women appearing on broadcasts, but often in these roles of like a hostess or an interviewer. But you do see like more and more women popping up now as like analysts and casters as well.
Yeah, because I saw that they're doing like, there's more like women teams and like, you know, like all of that. I guess it's happening all over this shop, even with football, like in the I don't know how to say it, in the physical sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like just that, like there's a women's league in football, right? Like there's also a women's league in certain games, like in CSGO, Counter-Strike, or in Valorant, there are special women's leagues. And now even League of Legends has come up with like a community run league, but still for females only.
Yeah, so I guess it's becoming more popular, which is amazing to see. Have you ever experienced any challenges working in esports as a female, or not so much?
There are certainly challenges, but I don't think they necessarily have to do with the fact that I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like everyone has their personal preference. Like if you are watching a football match and there are certain commentators, you'll like one more than you like the other. And well, then they're both men most often, so you're not going to be like, oh, but that guy, that's a guy. But in esports, it then very often that they make it an argument like, yeah, but you're a girl, you shouldn't be here or something like that. But I don't think it necessarily has to do with that. I think that if you dislike somebody on a broadcast and it's because you don't like their style of casting, their flow, it's more often like that about that, mm-hmm. I think.
Sure. Yeah. I was reading it, and I've watched a few like documentaries mm-hmm. where there's like, and I don't know what it's like now, it might have improved, but there was a lot of, probably not in the higher like levels, but in the lower levels, there was like a lot of trolling and toxic kind of language used in any kind of sport and any kind of competitive thing. People would like try and rile each other up and like fuck with each other. Is that still a thing?
Yes. Yes, it is. And in MOBA games, so in the multiplayer online battle arenas, the League of Legends, the Heroes of the Storm, the Dota, it's very normal to be toxic, sadly. It's very normal to focus more on what other people do than it is to focus on yourself. And well, as I said, I've recently started dabbling a little bit in Valorant, and maybe Valorant also just has a much younger audience, so it hasn't quite taken a hold yet there. But I found my experiences there a lot more enjoyable, like a lot less toxic, even if you are, because, you know, you're a new player, so you're going to be honest, like, oh, sorry, guys, I'm a new player. People would instead be like, that's okay. Like, if you want, like, I can play a few games with you and explain some stuff. Very nice experiences overall. While in League of Legends, it would very often turn out to be that people, when you say you're a new player, they just tell you to immediately uninstall the game again and stop playing, pretty much. or like these are them people that just they know the game and they are like, oh, this is going to be a pain. I have to play with somebody that doesn't understand anything. And the game is very fast paced, so it's taking a lot of effort to try and explain something, I would imagine. So maybe then they're like, no, this is not going to work. It's better to just make them leave.
Yeah, okay.
But it's the norm in those games, I think, more than in others.
Yeah, right. As a caster or, you know, a hostess or an interviewer or whatever, have you experienced, like, do people troll you ever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Really? If I'm in a game and people recognize my name, they will. Well, it goes two ways, right? There is the people that like you and they're like, oh, wow, it's so nice to see you. And they will be just happy to have you on the team, pretty much. And it doesn't really matter if you do good or bad. They'll just be happy because they recognize your name and they're like, I like you, or I look up to you, or whichever. But there will be people that then don't like you and then they're like, you're insert, you know, curse word towards females. I'm going to troll you. And then, yeah, I mean, there isn't much that you can do because they just decided when they saw me maybe online or on like one of these broadcasts, like, wow, this girl, I absolutely dislike her. And I think she should stop being on broadcasts and I will make it very clear.
I'm just thinking about it. That happens like in any, like if you're watching TV, whether you're watching sport or whatever, like people on Twitter or X, or whatever we want to call it. People are always going to say disgusting things. And when you can hide behind a screen, I mean,
yeah.
Like people wouldn't say, I can't imagine people doing that so much when you're working with a live audience, right?
No. And also like this is only things that have happened to me like while playing the game.
Oh, okay.
You know, if I'm not on actual like live air, like sure, I try to stay away from reading Twitch chat. There will always be a few comments, but you can't like please everyone. Like no one is going to like,
for sure.
There's never going to be a single person that everyone likes. But being targeted or trolled like that has only happened to me. Like when I'm not presenting or anything and I'm playing a game on my own.
We kind of touched on it before, but in your opinion, do you think that generally esports and gaming has evolved?
I think it's evolved a little bit. Definitely there's still a way to, like, there's still a long road forward, but it has evolved. I think that there are a lot of initiatives right now that are doing a fantastic job, like Impact Teams in CSGO, Game Changers within the Valorant space, a lot of initiatives that are creating these safe spaces for women to feel welcome and to promote this, like, you know, inclusion and diversity. I mean, it's right now they're looking towards this diversity, right? And then the next step would be like to kind of fuse them together and really start promoting that inclusion so that there doesn't necessarily have to be a separate league for females, but that you can compete in mixed gender teams, for example.
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's great to hear that there's steps going towards that, right? Because I think I think the world is going in that direction, but it's great to hear that that's happening in the online world as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So obviously casting requires like a super deep understanding of the game. How do you prepare?
Well, I would say start with preparing by playing a few games yourself, so you get a feeling of like, okay, how does the game feel? How does it normally like roll out and evolve? And watch a lot of other people that have already done it. Like, you don't have to come up with everything yourself. A lot of it's already been done. So what I do is Well, I think I have a good example. I got this gig for the Game Changers in Valorant. And when I got this gig, I had never casted a single game of Valorant. I had played an amount of 5 games in my life just to try out the game. So I was like, all right. So I started playing the game, and then I started just watching and absorbing the content that their official channels have put out. So you get a feeling for what are the casters saying at which point in the game. So what are they talking about? Which words are they using? What's the language like? I make a lot of notes because then everything sticks a little bit better. So I started with learning all the terminology. I have I don't have my camera on, but I literally have 2 pages with just terminology and talking points, because I had to try and understand and learn it. Coming from a MOBA perspective, casting a first-person shooter is completely different. And then there's so much of the aspects of the game that you have to learn, all the different agents that Valorant has, the different maps. And in League of Legends, it's you swap all of that up for items as well, right? Matchups, etc., etc. Now, you don't have to know all of that in and out, because that's impossible. Nobody can learn and absorb that much knowledge in a short amount of time. And the thing is that games are always evolving, with new patches coming, and then everything changes. But knowing the basics, so what is an attacker side, what's the defender side, or what does blue side have as an advantage to red side in League of Legends, for example. Those are things that are kind of the basics that you should know. And then it's just all about what do you choose for role? Because within casting, there is also different roles.
What are they?
So you have a color caster and you have a play-by-play caster. And I'm a play-by-play caster. That means that you're the entertainer, the person that cracks the jokes, but also that catches all the action in the moment. So I'm the person that talks really fast and goes like this. Oh my God. Oh. So, and I will raise my voice very often and be like, oh my God. When something is happening, when shit's about to go down. And then you have the color caster, which pretty much is providing the educational side of the broadcast. He is telling more in depth what is going on. Why did this team have to take a fight? Or why did they decide to pivot from A side to B instead? Things like that. Why the whys behind the action is the color caster's job.
Wow.
And there you obviously require a lot more knowledge of the game, and often also a higher rank, because I can tell you very honestly, in Valorant, I have not dipped my toe in the ranked C yet, and in League of Legends I'm silver one, so I'm not very high ranked there either.
It's such an alien world to me. So to hear all the different parts of it, and especially a game, I was watching some of your videos and I could not keep up with that. I would get confused which player is which. And yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah, it goes very fast. But that's the hardest part, I think, of my job being a play-by-play caster, is that everything goes really fast. So you just have to choose what you're going to touch upon, kind of, because you can't talk about everything.
Wow. And when you're doing the online ones, how many people are usually watching it as well? Because that's something that I think, if you're not in the gaming world, you probably, maybe you don't understand that people are playing games, but then, yeah, there's all these people that are watching these people playing games.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a difference, of course, between when you're streaming your own game, which I do sometimes, then it's around 25 to 50 people watching. But if it's a tournament that I'm a part of, I would say it depends highly on the game and on the league. So for the Valorant, there were about 3,000 to 4,000 people. And then the Heroes of the Storm, what last one was 5,000 people as well. And then other times when it's collegiate League of Legends, you're looking at around 1,800 viewers.
It's heaps. So wild.
Yeah, it's also a wild variety, right? It depends on the tier that the league is in and whatnot.
Is it like a different game? So, because I saw there was like this car game.
Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League. So there's like, is it like there's all these different games and each different game is like a different league, would you say? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so pretty much every game has a different league of their own. And all of those are split into different levels as well. So, for example, how you have League of Legends has their top level for every region, and then those meet at the World Championship, which is happening right now as we are recording this.
Wow.
And under that, everything gets split up in like more smaller regions. So within Europe already, we have like the NLC, which is for the UK and the Nordics. You have the LFL for France, you have the Superliga for Spain and those regions. So it's everything is spread up for smaller regions to compete. And then when they rise to the top of their league, they might try their luck at EU Masters. If you win EU Masters, you can maybe get a spot into, well, LEC, which is our European championship.
A different game is a different sport, and then just like you've got your community-based social sport, and then like as you go up, professional.
Exactly.
So you just touched on the hardest part of your job. What do you love about it?
I mean, I even love the hard parts. I think the prep is half of the fun. What I love about it is also just being able to meet so many people. I love being able to meet a lot of new people, and I'm very extroverted. So for me, that really gives me a lot of energy. I love that it gives me the freedom also to travel to new places, but also the freedom to, you know, pretty much just dab my toe in wherever I want. I can decide I'm never doing League of Legends again and I'm going full time on Valorant, for example. No one is going to stop me from doing that. So it's a lot of freedom of choice, but that also makes it sometimes a little bit overwhelming, I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Going full time, is that something that you aspire to do, or?
Absolutely. Yes, if I would be able to do this full time, I would. But that's hard. It's very hard, I think.
I can only imagine. We spoke about how things are moving in the right direction, evolving. How do you see it going in the future? Like, I guess because esports has changed so drastically, you know, within a 10-year period, where do you think it's heading?
Well, I would say it's heading in the right direction, right? And a lot of people have been a bit skeptical about it now, like now the last months, where a lot of influence from Saudi Arabia came in. Obviously, there is still a lot of work to do when it comes to equality for women and for any sort of like LGBTQ plus community member. So that has raised some concern amongst us, but I think that they also, you know, like esports should then maybe just try to be the example for the rest of the country and the culture to follow. So I think it doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing. I think also those people are trying to better themselves and step out of the old ways. Now, of course, I can't really speak for anyone there, but I would say that there's more opportunities there, I think, than obstacles. So I want to say, yes, we're still moving in the right direction. We've got a long way to go until we reach this, you know, like, how do you say it? Like these comfortable mixed gender teams. Because I think that is like the main thing, that people are just not comfortable. Like women have had so many bad experiences. They might not feel safe to play in a team with four other males. And maybe males have had such negative experiences with girls that they're like, no, I really don't want to play with a girl on my team. That's only going to be drama or yada, yada. So I think we have a way to go there where it becomes a comfortable thing more than it becomes a thing about inequality.
That's the beautiful thing, I guess, if it's heading in the right direction. It's just the world generally, like we just have to keep evolving. What about in the sense of like, so we've gone from people playing in their bedrooms to playing in stadiums filled with hundreds of thousands of people. Do you think it's just going to keep getting bigger?
If the economy allows it, I would say so, yes. I think it's gotten a lot more popular. Games are becoming mainstream pop culture. Like a few years ago, when I was smaller, when I was about 13, I remember that I was scared to tell people that I was a gamer because, one, I was a girl and games were not for girls. Everyone knew that. And two, if you gamed, you were a super nerd. And that was a bad thing.
Yeah, I remember, like, that used to be a bad... I don't think it's like that anymore, right?
No, exactly. And I think that's also what has happened, right? Like, there's been a whole transition in how we look at those things. And that's why I think it's only heading in the right direction. Gaming has really become a part of pop culture and is being integrated now in the education system and whatnot. And we use computers for pretty much everything. And, well... who knows what we'll be using a PS or an Xbox for in a few years? You don't know.
Totally. I mean, people, I was reading something the other day, like pilots are learning how to fly planes on computers, which has been happening for a long time. But now potentially there's going to be people flying proper planes, commercial airlines from the ground. You know, you just don't know. There's so much power within the games, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
For anyone that is, I did see that you made a video about this the other day, but for anyone out there listening who might be curious and think, I would love to do what Joy does, how do you even dip a toe? Like, how do you start?
I think it's important to ask yourself, what do you want to do? Because there's a lot of like within like esports is a whole industry, right? So it's not just the presenting. Unless you very clearly want to head into broadcasting, then I'd very much personally can help you out with just, you know, setting you up with some knowledge and how to get started. But I think if you just, I speak to a lot of people that are like, I want to work in esports. And then I'm like, okay, but what do you want to do? I don't know. You can do so many things. Like, you can be a social media manager, you can help out in operations. Like, it's a whole regular industry behind what is happening on streams. And a lot of people don't realize that. But I think if you want to get started into broadcasting, because that's something that I just have a bit more experience with, I think it would be the most useful to start small, niche down. So decide, okay, I want to be a host, or I want to be a caster, and I want to be a color caster, for example. Pick one game that you love. Start with something that you're really, really passionate about, a game that you absolutely love, and gather all the knowledge that there is to gather. But look a lot at what other people are doing. Learn what they're saying, like the language they're using, their flow of how they're speaking. Something I've recently been looking into trying to do is like maybe just get a few speech classes, because it learns you how to control your voice, how to properly use pauses and stuff like that. That's very useful as well. But I think if you really want to get into that, I think you should start very specific. And then as you gather some experience, then you can start branching out. But also don't be afraid to do stuff for free. Because in the beginning, I know a lot of people that have like, they've done one paid gig and then they were like, no, but now I'm getting paid and I'm not doing anything for free anymore. And that in the end might end up losing you opportunities, because yeah, it's all about showing how motivated you are more so than anything else, I think.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think that's really... very, very useful. You did say before that you would love to work in esports full time. What are your hopes and dreams for the future?
Well, my hopes and dreams for the future would be that I could permanently join a running league that runs for like all year round. That would be the goal, because then you have something, you know, you have your set days where you attend meetings and you're on set and you have you kind of have a more set salary, and I think that would be the hopes and dreams for the future.
There you go. I for one learned so much from this conversation. A massive thank you to Joy K for sharing, And since our chat, Joy has casted the biggest Valorant tournament for women to date, called Game Changers, which had a whopping 4,000 viewers. So cool to see more gals getting involved. She's also commentating at a game convention this summer called DreamHack. She's absolutely killing it. I've popped all of Joy K's socials in the show notes if you want to keep up to date with what she's up to. I've also put mine in there. Please do get in touch if you've got an idea for this series, or maybe you just want to say g'day. I always love hearing from you. And if you want to support the pod, make sure you've hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening from. And it'd be absolutely amazing if you could share this series with someone you think might like it. As an independent creator, I've said it before, but I can really use all the help I can get. Now, if you're still hungry to learn more about esports, I highly recommend watching a documentary Vice did like 8 years ago. It's so wild how big it was then, and it's only gotten bigger. I'll chuck that link in the show notes for you as well. That's enough from me for now. Thank you so much for hanging out. My name's Monica O'Hanlon, and that was the With Mon podcast. See you next week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.